Merry Christmas Eve. This is Ruth McCauley with news from the Decatur area for Thursday, December 24th. We began with an article about the weather, which was so surprising yesterday. It's written by Valerie Wells, Tony Reed, and Justin Kahn, all of whom are Herald and Review staff writers. Weather calendar at odds. Heavy rain, winds wreak havoc, damaged church. And this from Decatur. Tornado watches and thunderstorms are hardly the usual Christmas week weather in central Illinois, but that's what Santa sent this year. Decatur woke up Wednesday to a tornado watch in effect until 5 p.m. torrential rain, lightning, and thunder. Ed Scheiman, meteorologist from the National Weather Service, said El Nino, a weather pattern caused by warmer than normal sea surface temperatures in the Pacific Ocean, is to blame for the unusual weather. The amount of warm air and moisture has certainly been affected by the jet stream pattern, Scheiman said. This is a pretty strong line of storms for this time of year. We typically see some rain and thunderstorms sometime early in the winter season. This isn't unheard of, but it's not the norm, and the strength of the storms we had today are rare for this time of year. There were reports of a tornado west of Cerro Gordo that did damage to Oakley Brick Church, but Scheiman said the damage was done by straight-line winds and not a tornado. Scheiman said he expected things to dry off today. We're not going to see a whole lot of rain anywhere today, he said. Conditions are expected to be dry and in the low 50s, and there may even be a little bit of clearing late in the day. The strangely warm and intensely wet weather is likely to pose flooded road hazards for Macon County motorists driving around for the holidays. Weather forecasts are predicting up to 6 inches of rain over the next several days, on top of ground already saturated. Wow, 6 inches. Macon County Highway Engineer Bruce Bird said that means major runoff issues and some inundated roads, plus the added hazard of deeper flooding than usual in regular trouble spots. He said maintenance crews have been working hard to keep drains clear and stand ready to deploy warning signs where floodwaters submerge roads. But the problem, Bird said, might be getting holiday-distracted drivers to pay attention. This is more springtime than Christmas time weather, and a lot of people aren't going to be anticipating or thinking about flooding, he said. Their minds are going to be on the holidays and not on whether that road up ahead is flooded or not, because that kind of thing doesn't happen at Christmas. But this isn't Christmas like the ones you used to know. The El Nino climate effect churning out in the Pacific is challenging temperature and rainfall records across the Midwest and the eastern sections of the nation. The Office of Illinois State Climatologist Jim Angel says November was the third wettest and the 10th warmest on record for Illinois. Rainfall hit 5.6 inches, more than 2 inches above average. As for temperature, the 2015 fall season, September, October, November, ranked as the second warmest ever for the Midwest since 1895. The winter outlook, December, January, February, is now predicted to see more temperatures that will be above average. But be careful what you wish for. One snowfall estimator said an inch of rain equals 10 inches of snow. Bird said that means we could have been looking at 60 inches of snow if the rainfall predictions for this week fell in colder temperatures. And if we had 60 inches of snow, I don't know what we'd do with it, he added. The rain might actually be helpful to farmers for the moment. We needed the moisture, said Tim Stock, executive vice president of the Macon County Farm Bureau. It keeps the tile lines running. I hope it doesn't wash off the fertilizer. What would really be nice and doesn't seem to be in the immediate future is a good hard freeze. Plants are still growing, which means weeds are still growing, Stock said. The heavy rain caused some minor flooding, but no streets were closed because of it, said Dan Mendenhall, streets and sewers supervisor with the city of Decatur. Most leaves had already been swept up, though the city plans one more pass. Water on streets was due more to the sheer amount of rain that fell. 8 street crews and 2 sewer crews were out dealing with the water, he said. We'll have someone here as long as there are issues to be taken care of, he said. From Chris Luzvardi, H&R staff writer, we have No Job Left Behind Partnership identifies job growth in 2016. New manufacturing jobs are expected to be available next year in parts of central Illinois. A survey from the No Job Left Behind Partnership released this month found 30 companies in Coles, Douglas, Moultrie, and Shelby counties expect to hire for 792 positions in 2016, including 265 new jobs and 527 replacements. The survey was focused on logistics and manufacturing and included healthcare, along with technology and services companies. The responding companies employ 708 professionals and 2,979 hourly employees. The survey was a start to identifying ways to better train the workforce, said Stephen McMahon, Sullivan Chamber and Economic Development Director. We want to add to that, McMahon said. We want to look at needed programming to help all we can. The survey results came as Illinois Department of Employment security statistics for November were released Wednesday for counties throughout the state. The unemployment rate in the Decatur area increased slightly to 7.6% in November from 7.4% in November 2014, as it did in many other parts of the state. In Coles County, the unemployment rate in November was 6.5% and 5.9% a year ago. In Douglas, 5.7% and 5.2%. In Moultrie, 5.1% and 4.6%, and in Shelby, 6.9% and 6.2%. So everybody went up there. Elsewhere throughout the region, in Christian County, it was 7.4% and 6.8%. In DeWitt, 6.1% and 5.7%. In Effingham, 5.1% and 4.9%. In Fayette, 7.4% and 6.7%. And in Logan, 5.8% and 5.7%. And in Piatt, 5.5% and 5.0%. So, sheepers, again, all those numbers are up in unemployment. It's not unique to Decatur, Payne said. It's happening across the state. The uptick can be attributed to an increase in the size of the labor force, said Ron Payne, a labor market analyst with the department. Those re-entering the labor market might not yet be finding jobs, he said. As Payne said, it's happened across the state. Hopefully it's an indication that people are confident jobs are available. The task ahead is to align training with the jobs that are available and to work with employers and education providers to bridge that gap, Payne said. Those involved in the No Job Left Behind efforts will continue attempts to connect students and unemployed adults with jobs available in the area. Support for the group is increasing as the Moultrie County Board increased its contribution earlier this month to $7,500 from $5,000 last year. Information from the survey will be used to track needed skills and shared with education partners in the region to enhance and or establish curriculum and training initiatives, McMahon said. She said the goal is to provide education for elementary through adult learners to better prepare the present and future workforce. Jobs in particularly high demand from the survey included assemblers and machine production operators. Requirements for those positions can include experience and the capacity and desire to work in a manufacturing environment. McMahon said responses to the survey increased this year. 23 companies took part last year. The survey and related issues will be among the topics of discussion during the East Central Illinois Development Corporation Manufacturing Roundtable, scheduled for 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Thursday, February 11th, at the Thelma Keller Convention Center in Effingham. Those attending the meeting are expected to include manufacturers and community, business, education, and economic development leaders to address workforce skill needs and opportunities. Guest speakers will present information on career pathway initiatives that will support education to employment efforts, including the Talent Pipeline, career and technical education programs, and youth apprenticeship development. More information is available by contacting ECIDC Executive Director Randy Bohannon at rbohannon@lakelandcollege.edu or by calling 217-540-3517. In a somewhat related story, we turn inside for an article written by Rob Stroud, who is a Lee News Service writer. This is from Mattoon. Lakeland preps for displaced GE workers. Lakeland College is preparing for an influx of students from the ranks of the estimated 50 employees whose jobs were cut this fall at General Electric Lighting's Mattoon Lamp Plant. Academic Counselor Brian Burrell said Lakeland representatives took part in a, quote, rapid response meeting, end quote, for dislocated GE employees earlier this month at the college's Workforce Development Center. He said this gathering also included personnel from state and regional organizations that serve the unemployed. Burrell said the GE employees in attendance at the meeting heard presentations about federal dislocated worker program benefits and other resources that are available to them, including workforce development courses at Lakeland. We are just doing whatever we can to help our community and help our local workers with getting an education, Burrell said. In particular, Burrell said students can earn an industrial maintenance certificate in 1 year by taking a full schedule of courses during the spring, summer, and fall semesters. He said having the certification will enhance their employment prospects with area manufacturers and increase their job responsibility and pay levels. Lakeland already had been enrolling some students from GE in the Industrial Maintenance Certificate Program in recent years, Burrell said. These students typically needed longer than a year to complete the program due to having to work around their busy schedules on the job, he said. Burrell said several of the dislocated GE employees already have registered for Industrial Maintenance Certificate classes. The academic counselor said he anticipates that others may enroll before the spring semester starts on January 11th. Lakeland Director of Community Outreach, Chris Stroll, said the college has been serving the dislocated GE workers who are enrolling in the Industrial Maintenance Certificate Program, as well as some who have opted to go back to school to pursue a different major and career. Stroll said the Workforce Development Center also offers assistance with resume writing, computer skills development, and other training needed to help re-enter the job market. Our next article was written by Justin Kahn, H&R staff writer. This from Decatur. Surprise stop! Santa greets children at bus station. Anilla Macklin walked into the Decatur Public Transit System station with her family, and when she looked up, her eyes got wide and her mouth opened. It was Santa Claus. Macklin gave Santa a hug, then looked at her mom with a grin and pointed at him. Santa gave Anilla and each of her sisters, Adana and Amina, a small book and a candy cane. "Say thank you," said their mom, Lydia Macklin. Rain and school being out kept the number of children getting off the buses light, but retired bus driver Bob Walker was there to brighten the days of the kids that did come through. Walker, who drove a bus for 13 years before retiring in September, was wearing a Santa Claus costume he borrowed from the Decatur VFW. A Vietnam veteran, Walker had driven the bus dressed as Santa the last 2 years. "I can hardly breathe in this thing," Walker said, laughing. "The last time I wore a mask, I was in the Navy." Walker handed each kid a book that was bright yellow and were designed to help children learn the alphabet and colors. "It's just a symbol of our appreciation, especially for the little kids at the holiday," Transit System General Manager Jerome Parker said. Since originally wearing the suit a couple of years ago, Walker has become Parker's go-to Santa. "They asked me, and since I was retired, I figured it would give me something to do," Walker said. When Michael Crane heard someone ask his stepson, Deshaun McLean Henson, if he wanted his picture taken, he bristled. Then he saw who the picture would be with. "Oh, you didn't tell me it was with Santa," Crane said, his face turning from serious into a smile. "I'm very particular about who my son takes pictures with, but it's okay if it's someone I know, and everyone knows Santa." Oh, that's so sweet. Our next story comes from Johns Hill students. It's written by Valerie Wells. Johns Hill students on mission to give back. Students at Johns Hill Magnet School have been busy for a while with Mission Give Back, in which every day they had an activity they could do that would make someone else's day. One day, the directive was to write a letter or note or card to a first responder, thanking him or her for service. "My dad said there's a sheriff that lives at the end of our street," said Jonathan Scott, a third grader. "Why don't we give it to him?" That officer is Deputy Elgin Hawthorne, who came to the school to track down his new little friend and give him a present for his thoughtfulness. "He came to school and gave me a bag full of fun things," Jonathan said. Jonathan's teacher, Sarah Pierce, has known Hawthorne since the two of them were kids, and she said that's just the kind of guy he is. "We go way back to junior high," Pierce said. "He was raised in a very good family, and expectations were high. He's just that type of guy, very heartfelt, and if you give to him, he'll give back." Middle school science teacher Liz Bartimus said that Mission Give Back will very likely become an annual event. Besides writing letters and doing kindnesses for fellow students, kids brought in donations for food pantries and warm hats, gloves, and socks to give to the homeless. The teachers and students alike felt that it was a worthwhile activity and should be repeated, she said. The organizations we took donations to were very appreciative. Our next article is out of Springfield. College students feel pinch of Illinois budget battle. Jacqueline Soriano has resorted to crowdfunding her college education thanks to the prolonged budget stalemate in the Illinois Capitol. The 26-year-old psychology major wasted no time in establishing Jacqueline's tuition on GoFundMe.com after the Illinois Institute of Technology in Chicago informed her last week that she'd have to cover the $2,300 spring subsidy she was supposed to receive from the state's monetary award program. Worse still, the school said she and hundreds of students like her may have to repay the amount they received in the fall. "I pay $60,000 a year in tuition and expenses to go to school," $60,000, Soriano said. And then they're telling me I can't go to school next semester because of $2,300 that the government already promised me. Like what? Illinois colleges and universities haven't received funding because of the deadlock over a budget that should have taken effect July 1st. Most fronted income-based MAP money for the fall semester, figuring there would be a fiscal agreement by now when state MAP reimbursement checks typically arrive on campus. But while larger universities say they can afford to float their students the subsidy next semester, IIT and some other schools say they don't have the money. This situation isn't so dire for students at Illinois State University in Normal. Those who are supposed to receive MAP grants for the fall and spring semesters have been given credit and won't owe additional money to the university if the state money doesn't come through. About 4,000 of ISU's 20,615 students were supposed to receive about $6.5 million in MAP grants this school year. In last week's email to Suriano and other students who received MAP subsidies, Mike Goes, IIT's Vice President for Admission and Financial Aid, encouraged them to register and discuss their financial options with school advisors. He said the school would decide next month whether it would ask them to repay the fall funds. That one is something I'm having a hard time stomaching, Gotz told the Associated Press. We're following the situation very closely. We're taking action. We have a voice in Springfield. We're trying to tell them, the students, to hang in there with us, but at the same time, don't want to crush them immediately. Bigger schools have been adjusting cash flow for years because of the state's proclivity toward late payments, so they have built in more room to maneuver during the debacle. But smaller schools don't have that cushion, and several, like IIT, have said they won't be able to continue fronting the MAP funding for the spring. Two-year schools are particularly burdened. Matt Berry, spokesman for the Illinois Community College Board, said a majority are not able to front MAP money next semester. That includes Parkland Community College in Champaign. We are probably going to take a hit with enrollment because of that, said Parkland Marketing Director Patty Lynn. It's a terrible situation. Republican Governor Bruce Rauner, locked in the dispute over dollars with Democrats who control the legislature, vetoed legislation in June that would have provided $397 million in MAP funding, a 6% increase from the governor's proposed level. Rauner continues to campaign for fundamental pro-business and anti-union changes to state law before he deals with Democrats on the budget. Democrats demand action now because federally required spending is driving up the state budget, or the state's deficit, sorry. Pat McGuire, a Joliet Democrat who chairs the state Senate's Higher Education Committee, said the Illinois Student Assistance Commission is compiling data on how much schools have already covered this year as he pursues alternatives. What I'm hearing from schools is just give us some money. If the entire MAP authorization is $373 million, it's impracticable at this time. Give us something, McGuire said. Rauner spokeswoman Catherine Kelly said the governor supports MAP and urged McGuire to persuade fellow Democrats to deal with the governor on a year-long plan. The University of Illinois, which is the state system's flagship campus, is carrying a $61 million MAP tab for 15,000 students at its three campuses for the year, spokesman Jan Dennis said. There's a brief article, AP Wire story out of Urbana, Background checks for U of Illinois job applicants all clear. More than 200 people applying to work at the University of Illinois have undergone background checks so far, and the school says none have been refused jobs. The new policy approved in September extended background checks to faculty and other academic employees. Previously, only positions considered security sensitive required background checks. Deborah Stone is the university's director of academic human resources. She told the News Gazette in Champaign that a committee set up to assess hiring risks has had to review some prospective hires since September, but Stone said that none of the applicants had to be turned down. Checks are conducted only on applicants who have been offered and accepted jobs. Some faculty members do not like the new policy and claim it isn't needed and could discriminate against minorities. We can't get through the whole article, but there's an AP Wire story out of Washington with the headline, Consumer Confidence Spikes in November. U.S. consumer sentiment rose in December to its highest level since July, lifted in part by low inflation, which has boosted Americans' purchasing power. The University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index, released Wednesday, rose to 92.6 from 91.3 in November. That's just below this year's average of 92.9, the highest annual average in 11 years. The mood of consumers has been boosted this year by steady hiring, which has brought the unemployment rate down to a 7-year low of 5%. There are also early signs that businesses are offering higher pay to attract and keep workers. At the same time, Americans are responding positively to persistently low prices. They are more optimistic about their inflation-adjusted incomes than at any time since 2002, the Michigan survey found. Consumer spending has picked up this year as modest gains in income and cheaper gas have put more money in Americans' wallets. The greater spending has offset drags on the economy from a strong dollar, which has depressed exports by making U.S. goods pricier overseas, and cheaper oil, which has caused widespread job cuts in oil patch states. The economic fundamentals are in place for relatively strong 2016 consumer spending, said Chris Christopher, an economist at IH Global Insight. Several positives, such as lower gasoline prices, modest consumer price inflation, and increasing consumer confidence, are assisting many lower and middle-income households in spending a little more freely. Spending grew 0.3% in November, the government said Wednesday in a separate report, after no change in October. Low inflation has increased consumers' buying plans for household appliances, cars, and other big-ticket items to the highest level in a decade, the Michigan survey found. Okay, we're going to take a quick break now and return with the second half hour of news from the Decatur area for Thursday, December 24th. Hang on, we'll be right back.